Thank you, Cecil. My name is Mary Hamilton. I'm a registered nurse. I work for CSC. I'm a subcontractor to Northrop Grumman. I work out of the National Center for Public Health Informatics, representing their efforts. This presentation on FIN case notification is in support of the Nationally Notifiable Disease Surveillance System. Along with my colleague, Adam Browning, we're going to do a presentation today on the FIN case notification using HL7 2.5. This is a technical assistance and guidance. At last FIN conference, Adam and I did about a 3 or 4 hour workshop and in-depth into the artifacts of doing case notification. This is a brief 20-minute presentation, and again, we'll answer any questions after Adam finishes his portion of it. The goal of this is so that the participants understand the artifacts that we use in HL7 case notification at CDC, and to understand about the technical assistance and guidance that you can get. You should, at the end of this presentation, be able to understand the use case for case notification, as well as the artifacts that are used constructing a FIN case notification. Adam's going to go through and talk about the relationships between the HL7 specification that we use, the specific condition message mapping guides, the erratas and clarification documents that you'll find posted on the FIN website, as well as our use of FIN VADs for the vocabulary in these messages. Basically, the HL7 case notification, again, is done in conjunction with the group that supports the Nationally Notifiable Disease Surveillance System. And the current, or the previous and current many states use, is a system called the National Electronic Telecommunication System for Surveillance, or NETS. And over the last 9 years, there's been a migration to use the National Electronic Disease Surveillance System. And so these communication efforts, these messaging efforts, are in support of the NEDS project. Basically, we are using HL7. It's an international standards organization for electronic data exchange in healthcare environments. As Cecil pointed out, HL7 has been in existence since the late 1980s, and so we've seen many different versions of HL7 that have come out over the many years that it's been in existence. For the purpose of our demonstration, or for the purpose of for the case notification, we are talking about using HL7 version 2. As Cecil mentioned, it's closely related standards rather than a single standard. It provides for a collection of message specifications to support data exchange, rather than the version 3 model that, as Cecil mentioned, that's modeled based for interoperability. And I think Ken's presentation for the use of clinical document architecture, the CDA, will go into that version of HL7 further. Now, for case notifications, we are using an HL7 message that is considered an HL7 message type of an ORU. The ORU is an observation result unsolicited. That simply means that you're sending observations in a HL7 message that are coming at the point of the disease surveillance system at your Department of Health. So whenever at your Department of Health it has been decided that a case, an investigation meets a case definition, that's at the time that the state decides to send into CDC this message. A message structure for HL7 2.5 is hierarchical. You'll find different segments in that message. There are segments in the message that will communicate patient information or person-based information. They're also within each segment, there are specific fields that represent for instance, the person's date of birth, or for instance, a race or a detailed race category. These fields also are composed of different components. They can they have specific field lengths that are defined, and they contain one-to-many parts that we refer to as components or subcomponents. So it does allow you to be able to specify detailed information even at a field level. Some of the artifacts of the HL7 case notification, the specification version that you'll find on the FIN website was published in January of 2009. There are a whole list of condition message mapping guides that are currently published. And these are the currently or soon to be published versions. You'll find out on the FIN website right now Varicella. And when you look at Varicella, you will see two different versions. You'll see there's a version 1 and a version 2. And we had a question about this in the NED stakeholders meeting on Sunday. You will find, and we do this based on the release of the condition mapping guide. So we start with version 1, and if there are changes, updates to those guides, then we move to version 2. So as you look on the FIN website, for instance, you'll notice varicella and tuberculosis have both had two message mapping guides published over the past couple of years. In addition, you'll also find, I believe that most recently published was the arboviral, and that's at version 1. So we've only had one release so far of arboviral disease, of that message mapping guide that's been published. Now, I hear tell, I don't know, because I haven't been out there yet, maybe we can hit the internet, that by the end of this conference, a generic condition message mapping guide as well as a summary message mapping guide will be posted out there. And that's going to allow, using both the generic and summary message mapping guides, will allow a far greater depth of conditions to be reported into CDC than the three conditions of varicella, TB, and arboviral that are currently out on the message mapping guide. There is an accompanying document. I should have put it on this presentation. Aaron, what's it called? Is it the 2009 reporting mechanism, and it's a Word document. And if you go in that document, it has a large table in it, and it'll have a whole list of conditions out there, and then it'll tell you what message mapping guide to use if you're reporting that condition. So that's how you will be guided as to when to use generic or when you're going to go into a specific disease or condition message mapping guide in order to send that message. The latest and greatest, I guess, that are soon to be published have to deal with influenza virus infections, and that's all the discussion and all the rage these days. But I believe the first one that's going to come out is the influenza summary. Aaron's shaking his head at me. And still under discussion and not yet ready to be posted are the influenza pediatric mortality individual case reports as well as the influenza individual case reports. And we're still going through getting feedback. We had a pretty in-depth discussion at the vocabulary and messaging community of practice. And maybe you can talk a little bit about the ability for states to go out on the Sitescape or phconnect.org to be able to provide additional feedback on those guides. Like I said, we're still collecting feedback on those and certainly welcome everybody's feedback. A couple of future guides, and those are, again, soon to be published that we've been working on, deal with vaccine preventables like measles, mumps, rubella, and some other communicable diseases. Basically, what happens is there's a priority of condition mapping guides that are targeted, and we just kind of start down that list trying to collect requirements, and then once those requirements are collected and the mapping guides are created, then they go out for comment. And, you know, as we make priorities, then things like H1N1 happens, and sometimes those priorities change. The other thing you're going to find out on the Finn website, where all these artifacts are located, is for these three, for varicella, tuberculosis, and arboviral, you will find what we call errata and clarification documents out there. And those are documents that further specify, we get a lot of feedback once we implement interfaces. I know for any of you that do interfacing, that doesn't surprise you at all. I mean, you go out there with your best guess, the way that an interface should work or the vocabulary should be, and then the rubber meets the road when people actually start implementing it. And so we've chosen a mechanism of errata and clarification documents to just point out to people. Adam's going to go into a little bit more detail how these artifacts between the specification and the message mapping guides and the errata and clarification documents work together so that when you get ready to start implementing these interfaces, you can get the right product, all the right artifacts together so you can produce a good message. The other thing I don't think I put in any of the slides that we created have to do with the support calls that are offered. Michelle Mays and Aaron Aranis hold support calls for these conditions for the states, for them to call in on a either weekly basis or biweekly basis, depending on what the condition is. At the end of this presentation, I do have both of their email addresses. So if you're not involved, if you don't know about these calls, we encourage you to get on the calls. We actually had a state that ended up using the wrong condition specification. It was from years ago when we had a specification and a mapping document all in one, and it really messed them up because they, you know, I mean, these it's not cheap to do interfaces, and you want to do it once and be right. You don't want to miss the mark. And so again, there is a lot of support out there for the states that are trying to create these interfaces, get them tested, and eventually be able to go live. The other part of all these artifacts that we offer, you know, it's great to have messages and it's great to have all of that, but you have to have vocabulary to stick inside the message so we're all communicating data and we're all speaking the same language. And currently we use FinVADs in order to communicate the data that goes in these messages and related to the artifacts and the versions of the message mapping guides that are used. So that is currently the URL to the FinVADs website. I don't know, you think it'll work?
It'll work, man.
Oh, no, I got a green cord hanging down there. That's always dangerous, isn't it? Isn't that a bad sign? Well, that's okay. I'm more humble than that. Yeah, not so much. Okay. Well, that's not going to work, so. Uh-oh. There you go. Adam?
Okay. Thank you, Mary. My name is Adam Browning, and I'm a subcontractor to Northrop Grumman through TechSoft Group. I currently work in data messaging brokering as an HL7 analyst for NICFI and now the messaging vocab analyst as well. So I'm going to continue on right where Mary left off. We're going to take a look at using the artifacts in case notification. I'm going to tell you where this website is because I doubt that it's going to pull up if it didn't work for Mary. You can see we actually have a web page dedicated to the message mapping guides and the specification, and some of you are shaking your head, so I'm assuming some of you know this. If not, feel free to let us know or ask questions, and we can give you copies of this as well. I believe this is also available on the internet. It should give you a link directly. We're going to start by looking at a presentation of the specification and the sample message. Current implementation projects would use the message structure specification for National Condition Reporting version 2. We had a version 1 specification that has been modified to better support the NIDS program. We have removed some data types that were causing some issues, and we generally have a basic structure of, as I've talked about this, a few of you guys were down at the community of practice yesterday, a questionnaire format, that is a questions and answers type ORU message. If we look at the specification, we'll see the document details the basic structure of the case notification HL7 message. There is a simplified message structure. What fields are supported are listed at the top of it. What is the usage for each field, component or subcomponent required, preferred, or optional? In some cases, a literal value is given for the field. You also see these literal values inside of the message mapping guides as well, where we try to help you along with what's expected to be seen in that message. The message mapping guides, as I said before, are located on the FIN webpage. The message mapping guides give us direction as to what content should be populated inside the basic structure of the case notification message. FIN variables are listed in the message mapping guide. FIN variables are basically unique identifiers for concepts that you're asking. So, for example, did the patient have a fever? Has a concept. Did the patient die of this condition or illness? As one of my talents is to memorize every one of these UIDs as they come out, and as some of these guys will tell you, would be INV-145, by the way. There are two formats for the message mapping guides. The original format, as we received some feedback, was confusing. And the reason why it was confusing, as we all know, we all love Excel, and we send Excel. In this particular instance, we had an introduction tab, we had a data element index tab, a revisions tab, a key tab, subject related, generic OBS, a varicella OBS, and a varicella message, and notification structure. So you would have to go to the data element index, and in the data element index, find the UID that you were looking for, and then go to the tab that it was related to. So, for example, DEM 165 related to the patient demographics related, you would have to go to the subject related tab. Moving right along, the new and improved format is a way of putting it all in one place. The information that was available on each separate tab could easily be put into an Excel document a little further off to the side. So, in efforts to make that a one Excel spreadsheet or workbook, whatever you'd like to call it, then we actually moved them to the same tab. This is true for generic summary. I say that because we're about to talk about influenza summary. Measles, mumps, rubella, CRS. As it says at the bottom, concise instructions for vocabulary is defined. However, Aaron is available at any time in case there's not available to you. I want to talk quickly. I talked about it more in depth yesterday in the community of practice. What is coming out for, I don't want to call it H1N1 anymore, because of those of you that were on the CSDE call a week ago, know we're trying to report all flu in this particular format. So influenza individual case notification, influenza summary notification, which just as a side note, correlates to the web application that is being sent in, that the flu program request is being sent in. The influenza-associated pediatric mortality case notification, our PEDS flu, as we lovingly call it, but has a guide. Both the individual and the pediatric mortality is still being debated, as Mary said earlier. The errata and clarifications are also listed on the FIN webpage. I suggest you could take a look and see where the clarifications are given in each case. I see that I'm getting the sign. So I'm going to speed through these real quickly. FINVADS. FINVADS is located where Mary said, finvads.cdc.gov. This is the content for your message. It is very well put together, and if you've seen the last version of FinVads, you'll like version 3.0 a lot better. I'm going to go through this real quickly. State mapping of local variable to fin variables. This is how to put a message together. You want to take your data and be able to put it in these fin variables, and there are blocks, basically, or concepts that you tie together with this. The standard codes exist on FinVADS, the message mapping guide, and the specification are all used together. As I know I'm out of time, I'm going to move forward slightly. The specification defines the structure. The message mapping guides will hold the content or directions to get the content, and the content is listed on FinVADS. I know we're going to have questions. I'm going to move right along because I don't want to interrupt any of the other presenters. But we do need to test together, and that is to say, even when you have what you believe to be correct messaging, it's always best to get a second opinion, just to make sure that as this comes in, it doesn't fail out of the processing. We do, I say we, myself, Mary, I see Daphne Anderson in the back, check each one of these messages in a visual process. That is, usually we get them in an email and look at them, and it can go through them relatively quickly. I know you're going to have more questions than answers, but if you have questions, Aaron Aranis, right here in front, and Michelle Mays are available to talk about it from the Annette's perspective. Thank you.
Questions? Yes.
Any consideration being made about producing the guides in a machine-readable format for the XML schema for you?
I would actually ask Aaron. Yes, sir. They are. Actually, I see Vic sitting in the back from Data Message Brokering currently has a demo program currently called Message Quality Framework that does an automatic validation of a message. I do not know the status of it currently.
Any other questions? All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Cecil.
Next speaker is Tim.